Much has been made of the red state, blue state divide in America, and one of the clearest indications of that divide is the hostility with which some red state voters view a federal government headed by a blue state president. That undercurrent has made elected officials in some states eager for opportunities to push back against federal authority. In Kansas, that eagerness has led Governor Sam Brownback and conservative Republican majorities in the House and Senate to throw up roadblocks to Obamacare. They've also rejected Medicaid expansion despite a federal promise to shoulder nearly all the costs. And a gun law passed last year is another example of the pushback. It exempts guns manufactured and purchased in Kansas from federal regulation, provided owners don't take them out of state. Supporters hailed it as the strongest Second Amendment protection law in the country. Burdette Loomis is a political science professor at the University of Kansas with Democratic leanings. He's given the pushback trend a name, soft secession.
In other words, Texans may talk about seceding. Kansans aren't talking about seceding from the Union. But they are, through Brownback, I think, pulling back from cooperating with the federal government.
Lieutenant Governor Jeff Collier doesn't like the term soft secession.
Kansas is part of America. Come on, we're the heart of America.
The pushback, Collier says, is an appropriate response to an overreaching federal government that is requiring Kansas to purchase health insurance and one that attempted to coerce states into expanding Medicaid until the U.S. Supreme Court intervened to make that part of Obamacare optional.
For starters, Kansas did not support Obamacare. Let's all agree that Kansans have made that very, very clear. They've made it very clear in elections across the state on that. So that's what Kansans have expected, and we've delivered on that.
Mistrust of the federal government extends down to the local level, too. In the summer of 2011, Johnson County commissioners rejected a $320,000 federal grant aimed at preventing heart attacks, strokes, and cancer by reducing obesity. Commissioner Ed Peterson remembers the vote.
I supported it, but a majority of our board rejected the money, and a significant part of that had to do with the fact that it was coming from the federal government.
Environmental regulation is another flashpoint for conservative legislators who say the jury is still out on climate change. They view efforts to promote green energy as interference in the free market. They have failed so far to repeal wind energy incentives, but they are mounting a final push in the session's closing days. And as Brian Thompson reports, they've already succeeded in sending a message to the Environmental Protection Agency.
A bill signed last week by Governor Sam Brownback is another example of the state pushing back against what it considers federal overregulation. But in this case, it's a response to environmental regulations that haven't even been written yet. The bill seeks to beat the EPA to the punch by asserting Kansas's right to regulate the greenhouse gas emissions of the power plants within its borders.
I have some real questions about what they're doing at the federal level, and we've been trying to push back every bit we can. What we're saying with this bill is we want to be able to handle this at a local state level because we think we can do it more effectively, more efficiently than you're doing at the federal level.
Brownback signed the bill at Sunflower Electric's Holcomb Generating Station. Sunflower remains stuck in a long legal battle over plans to expand the coal-fired power plant. Attorney Amanda Gooden has led the Sierra Club's battle to prevent that expansion. She says state officials may be wasting their time.
I think maybe what they're going for here is trying to get a state rule and argue that then the state rule governs the emission limits. Unfortunately for them, though, under the Federal Clean Air Act, it's the federal law that trumps.
Sunflower's Claire Gustin says the new Kansas law is not about the proposed expansion. It's about regulating greenhouse gas emissions from plants that are already operating. She says the measure gives the Kansas Department of Health and Environment the flexibility to work with Kansas utilities in meeting new air quality standards.
They're going to worry about cost to ratepayers. They're going to worry about the stability of the grid and how any rules or regulations might impact that. And thirdly, it gives KDHE flexibility for how they implement the regulations.
A key part of the new Kansas law would allow all electric generation in Kansas to be weighed against the combined greenhouse gas output from all of the state's power plants. Taking into account all of the wind power that's been harnessed in recent years could mean that Kansas is already emitting less carbon dioxide per megawatt of power generated, according to State Representative Russ Jennings. His district includes Sunflower's Holcomb plant.
If we cannot retrofit existing fossil fuel production plants cost effectively, then we should be able to take advantage of and capture the benefit of those generating sources that produce no carbon.
Like the Sierra Club's Gooden, Jennings isn't sure the EPA will go along with the Kansas plan, But he says if it does, the state may be able to meet the new greenhouse gas standards right out of the gate. For the Kansas Public Radio Network, I'm Brian Thompson.